don't know if you have the same problem I have. You know, every day I try to make sure that I eat food that contains all the essential ingredients that, you know, the experts tell you you must have. So I make sure that I eat enough protein, you know, that will give me the long-lasting, slow-burning energy. Make sure I eat enough fruits and vegetables with all the antioxidants and vitamins. And then you got to eat enough fiber in your diet, because complex carbohydrate burns just like that, right? It gives you a sugar high. But if you eat foods rich in fiber, it burns slowly and it helps your digestive system and so forth. And so one day I came home and I see this thing next to my nightstand. And Penny found this thing and she put it there and she wanted to show me. It's almost like she discovered this elixir to life or something like that. And then it says, it's the Bible bar. And then, and it says it contains the seven foods of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 8. So let's take a look at what that is. Deuteronomy 8a, it talks about a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. So it has wheat, barley, raisins, honey, figs, pomegranate, and olive oil. And actually, I haven't tasted one. I saved it. Actually, I went out and got a few more. I thought we'd try it together, right? Yeah, so I'm going to throw it out. So share it with your neighbor, okay? Woo! All right, come here. And I'm going to keep one. I'm going to try one. So this is the first time I ever opened it. It actually looks pretty good. So here, you can. I'm going to take a bite. Let's all try and share. No, it's not communion yet. Try it and see how it tastes. Now, according to the website, I actually went out and found the company that makes this. The website also suggests that the Bible bar is not only great for your physical health, it also has deeper spiritual significance. Now, I know that all of us struggle with keeping healthy and have a balanced diet. And I also know that I think even more importantly, we oftentimes struggle in keeping a healthy spiritual diet, the diet for our hearts, our souls, our spirits. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we have to admit that oftentimes we fill our minds and our hearts with TV shows, movies, books, magazines, just a lot of junk, you know, old conversations that are just not filling our hearts. And we really don't spend enough time reading God's Word and allowing God's Word to fill us, fill that deepest hunger and deepest need, spiritual, emotional need that we all have. And we wish, you know, it'd be wonderful if we can really just eat this bar that will satisfy both our physical and our nutritional needs and our spiritual needs, but that's not reality. So the question that we're going to ask ourselves this morning, if you open up your bulletin, you can follow along. The question we want to ask ourselves this morning is, how then, if we cannot just eat a bar to fill our spiritual needs, how then do I fall in love with the Bible and fall in love with God? How do I fall in love with the Bible and thus fall in love with God? And that's what we're going to explore this morning, because I think most people hate these health foods, right? Most of you cannot stand that protein shake that I drink every day. and a lot of times that we feel like reading the Bible is kind of like that. But I think the great news that we're going to see this morning is that learning to love the Bible is nowhere near like learning to love the protein shake. Okay, David, in fact, said in Psalm 19, verse 9 to 10, Let's read this together. Psalm 19, verses 9 to 10. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold and much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Now I want you to circle the word honey. Yeah, the honey is not difficult to love, right? So that's what the Word of God is. And this morning, let's pray and ask God to awaken our souls, to awaken our spirits to this love for His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You with wide open hearts. And we surrender ourselves under the authority of Your Word and the movement of Your Spirit. And we ask that You will give us a heart that truly hungers for what is good for us, what is pure, what is beautiful, what is sweet. Your truth, Your Word. Come and transform the desires of our hearts this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I think, unfortunately, many people come to the Bible with many just unfortunate misconceptions. And we're going to look at a few common ones this morning. First, I think that, misconceptions. Misconceptions. That is very unfortunate. But first, oftentimes we feel that the Bible is outdated and irrelevant, right? Many people complain that, well, the Bible was written, 2,000 years ago. Some parts of it more than 2,000 years ago. And inspired people, written by people from cultures that has nothing to do with what we experience today. It was so old and it's outdated. It's totally different from us. It don't even speak the same language. It's just, how can it be relevant? Especially in our technologically driven modern society, advanced society. Well, the truth is that the Bible, in fact, is practical and relevant. The Bible is practical and relevant. In fact, it is our life instructional manual. It's God's instructional manual for life. See, the Bible talks about how we can experience the greatest and healthiest and most satisfying material blessing from God. And in fact, it tells us how we can experience material blessings in a constructive way. And Jesus taught more about money than heaven and hell. And the Bible talks about that. If you look at Malachi chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 6, it'll give you hints how you can experience such a life. The Bible talks about how we can find the greatest satisfaction and fulfillment from work, even under difficult bosses or in very difficult environments. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us how we can do that. Right, the Bible talks about how we can experience emotional freedom from guilt, from bitterness, from lack of clear conscience, from the lack of peace. And James chapter 5 tells us that. See, the Bible is the most practical book because it is God's instructional manual for our lives. Some of you might know who Ken Blanchard is. He's the author of the best-selling leadership book, 1 Minute Manager. It sold more than 1 million copies, considered a classic today. And when he wrote this book, he wasn't actually a Christian. And later on, he became a Christian through various pastors, and one of them was actually Pastor Bill Hybels. And after he became a believer, he started to read the Bible, particularly the Gospels, the four Gospels. And he was just fascinated. He was so drawn in and astonished by the teaching of Jesus. And he concluded that Jesus was and is the best model and most powerful leader. It's best model for leadership. In fact, right now, Ken Blanchard decided to devote his life teaching the leadership model of Jesus, drawn from the Bible. And he began this lead like Jesus ministry. And recently he wrote the book, Leadership by the Book, together with Pastor Bill Hybels, and Lead Like Jesus. The Bible is absolutely relevant and practical because it is God's instructional manual for life. And one of the things that, the Bible talks about is servant leadership. And recently, there's a whole slew of books. If you just type in in Amazon.com, servant leadership or servant leader, you get, I don't know how many books that just kind of pops out, and a lot of them are not even written by Christians. It's relevant, it's practical. Another unfortunate misconception that we often have about the Bible is that the Bible is boring, and it puts us to sleep. Well, some of us feel that, man, if you cannot go to sleep at night, open up the Bible, read a few pages, it works better than sleeping pills, right? But that's far from the truth. You know, King David wrote in Psalm 19, 7 to 10. Let's read this together. Psalm 19, 7 to 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving life to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, and much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. Let's look at the adjective here. You know, we think boring, outdated, irrelevant. Look at the adjectives. It's what the Lord is. Take our pen and refresh. Circle it in your bulletin. It says refreshing, refreshing to the soul. It's trustworthy, giving joy, right? It's radiant, giving light to the eyes. It's pure, and it's obviously we read about the part of this earlier. And it's more precious than gold, and it's sweet, sweeter than honey. That's what the Word of God is. And I remember receiving an email from Raymond a while back now. And I also read about this in a book about the Bible. And the email that Raymond emailed me, sent me, mentioned that the shortest chapter in the Bible, what is it? Psalm 117. The shortest chapter in the entire Bible, two verses. If you want to, you can memorize those two. Say, I memorize a chapter in the Bible. Okay, just two verses. And the longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. What's the exact center chapter of the entire Bible? It's Psalm 118.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the total number of chapters in the entire Bible is 1188 chapters in the Bible. And what's the exact center verse in the entire Bible? Psalm 118, verse 8. And what does that verse say? I was looking at it really fast. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. See, the Bible is fascinating, right? I'm not really into this Bible code thing, but this is kind of neat. You know? But see, the Bible is fascinating, it's transforming, it's astonishing, it's delightful. It's anything but boring. Right? Now, another misconception that we often have about the Bible is that it's just full of do's and don'ts. A poor kid, right? When you think of the Bible, we often think of only like the Ten Commandments, you know, or the things that tell us that limits our freedom, that you cannot do this, this is bad, that is wicked. Well, it's true that there are a lot of teachings in the Bible, and the Bible contains many laws and rules. But these things have two purposes, and neither one of them is to rob you and me of the freedom and enjoyment of life. See, the Bible is ultimately not about rules and laws and do's and don'ts. The Bible is about relationships. The Bible is about relationships. See, it is about how God loves you and wants to have a deep and satisfying connection, loving relationship with you. It's about how God wants you and I to enjoy that this fulfilling, nourishing, loving relationship with other people. It is about relationships. These laws and teachings and these do's and don'ts happen to be tools that help us maintain and enjoy such relationship with God and with the people around us. That's what the Bible is about. And let's read on Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3 to 9 together. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. You lie down, and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, why? Because he wants to increase us, right? Because he wants us to be able to love. Where is it? Okay, love. Because he wants us to have that loving relationship with God. And that's why. Because he wants us to enjoy his marvelous blessings, his riches, that intimate relationship. See, the Bible is not just about do's and don'ts. It's about love, loving relationship with God and the people around you. See, in fact, the Bible is God's love letter. The Bible is God's love letter to you and me. The Bible is God's love letter to you and me. It's his intimate, personal expression of love. Right? It's about God's love for his creation, that all the things that he has made in the world, in the universe, and nature. And we see this in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He loved everything he created. It's good. It's beautiful to him. And the Bible is about God's love for Adam, for Eve, how he prepared everything so that they can enjoy that intimate fellowship with him and enjoy all the marvelous creation. His love for Noah, for Abraham, for Joseph, for Moses, for Joshua, right, for King David, King Solomon, King Josiah, Apostle Peter, John, Paul. And it's about you. His love for you as well. God says in 1 John 4:8, the person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God. Why? Because God is love. That's what he's all about. So you can't know him if you don't love. The Bible is about love, about God's love. And I've shared with some of you this past week how I feel very heavy-hearted this week. I'm kind of depressed this past week. And Penny probably felt the most brunt of it. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm very grumpy, you know, most of the time this week. And I shared with the worship team this Saturday, and I'm very excited to see how we're able to worship God with a lot of passion. You know, I'm really glad to see that we're able to really pour out our hearts to God and you know, raise our hands, close our eyes, and just enjoy his presence, and let our hearts be transformed by his presence. But at the same time, I'm also very concerned and very burdened, and I think my heart is very troubled by how we have this lack of knowledge of God's word and this God's love letter to us. And I think the result is a kind of a blindness to our own hypocrisy in that on the one hand, we profess to love God passionately. But on the other hand, we have no idea who this God that we love passionately is all about. And on the one hand, we worship and say, God, I'm all sold out to you. But on the other hand, you have no idea what you're sold out to. Because we don't know this God. Because we don't read his word. We're not interested in theology, which is just a word for the study of who God is. Knowing God. You know, I was thinking, a lot of people love The Lord of the Rings, right? Or Jack Welch, or Steve Jobs, or just various celebrities, Angelina Jolie, or Jennifer Aniston. Oh, we know about these celebrities, and we know more about them and their movies and TV shows. We can quote from them. We can quote from the books. We read. Maybe you have read Lord of the Rings 3 times and watched a movie straight, 12 hours. you know? And we haven't, yet to spend time to read the Bible one time through. And that really troubled my heart. And we, the young adult group, as you know, we started a 4-week series on the Da Vinci Code. And I'm very glad to, and I'm very excited to see how many people are interested in the Bible because of it, and interested in the Christian faith because of the book. But on the other hand, I'm also very discouraged to see how a lot of, most Christians that I know cannot tell what is true and what is not in the book. And how many followers of Jesus are more fascinated by the Da Vinci Code than by the Bible? You know, the Bible is God's love letter to you and me, and yet it's almost like we don't love God because we don't even, I mean, when you get a love letter, you're eager to read it, right? I guess for those of us that are married, we have to think really far back to when we're dating, right? And when before the advent of emails and stuff like that, when writing love letters, and you're eager to receive the letter and read it. So how can we once again love this love letter that God has written to you and me? Three things I think that will help us to do that. Number one is delight. Delight in the Word of God. Enjoy it. Just take pleasure in it. Savor it. Delight in the Word of God. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 2 says, let's read this together. It says, blessed are those who do not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on His law day and night. Who delight on the word of the law. I don't know how many of you love wasabi, but I love wasabi. It's one of the most powerful, strong tastes that you can ever put in your mouth. And it just clears your sinuses, even if you have severe allergies, right? And I just absolutely love wasabi. And it's a must-have with sushi, with sashimi, all the raw fish. And you know what? It's an acquired taste in some ways, right? Because not everybody is born with that desire for wasabi. It's a required taste, but you know, it's something that I delight in. It's something that you can learn to delight in, and that's what that's what the Bible is like. It's very strong and powerful. When you taste it, man, it will knock you over, right? But you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. And Psalm 119 verse 143 says, "Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight." Right? Your commands are delight. So number one, delight in God's word. Number two, second way to experience fully God's passion and love for us is to cherish it. Cherish the word. And let's read Psalm 119, 41 to 48 together. And I didn't put it up on a projector, but you can look in your bulletin. Let's read it out loud together. So, let your love, God, shape my life with salvation, exactly as you promised. Then I will be able to stand up to mockery because I trusted your word. Don't ever deprive me of truth. Not ever. Your commandments are what I depend on. Oh, now guard with my life what you reveal to me. Guard it now. Guard it ever. And I will strive freely through wide open spaces as I look for your truth and your wisdom. Then I will tell the world what I find, speak out boldly in public, unembarrassed. I cherish your commandments. Oh, how I love them. Relishing every fragment of your counsel. Cherish, desire, long after it. Right? Cherish God's word. James Bracey, he was a young man and devoted husband, and he was stationed in California's military base in the 1950s, thousands of miles away from his new wife, bride, Sally. And the link between them back then was just letters. And he would write love letters all the time with great care, with consistency. But now all his letters actually made it to Sally. And one of them was somehow misplaced and got stuck in this room between the walls in the mail room in Fort Ord. And that was it's our army base close to Monterey. And so for half a century, 50 years, it was just stuck there. And then 50 years later, when James and Sally had just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, and they were relaxing in the living room and just listening to music, their song, you know, on the radio, and all that, and it reminded them how they used to be far apart and all these love letters coming. And while that was going on, the construction crew was actually taking down the post office. And they discovered this long forgotten letter, just wedged between the walls. And so the postmaster, Bob Spadoni in Monterey, actually tracked them down, tracked a couple down, and delivered that mail to them 50 years later, a few days after their wedding anniversary. And when they received it, they were just amazed, and it just filled their hearts with warmth, and all the old romances, all the feelings just came back. And Sally was talking about how tears just actually welled up in her eyes, and she felt like she was this love-struck 22-year-old woman that just got married. And she said these words. She said, "It meant a lot to me then, but it means even more now." And the thing is, you know, God has written to us this love letter as well, thousands of years ago. But not only that, He's still speaking those very words to us right now, every day. That's how He speaks today. Cherish, you know, cherish the Word of God. Number three, lastly, obey. Obey the Word of God. It will help us experience fully God's passionate love and His love letter to us. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Right? Obey. God guarantees us that if we seek to know Him and know His word and obey it, we will experience the true loving relationship with Him. Now, if you're married, you know this. And when Penny and I talk at home, there will be times when she's talking to me and I'll be doing something else, like reading a book or reading a magazine or like checking emails and stuff like that. And she would tell me, "I need you to look at me in the eyes." Right? "So I need you to look at me in the eyes because I need you to listen to me. And you need to stop whatever you're doing, reading a book, whatever." And if I want a loving relationship, what do I need to do? I better obey, right? I need to obey. And you know what? God is telling us that we need to do these things not because He wants to limit our freedom or try to bind us in or put us in bondage. In fact, He's saying, if you do these things, it will help you to have an intimate and loving relationship with Him and with the people around us. It's for our sake. It's for our sake. So there are three ways to fully experience God's passionate love for us. And it's delight, enjoy, take pleasure in God's word. Second, cherish, desire, long after, and hunger after God's word. And third, put it into practice. See, God's word is relevant. It's practical. Okay, this instruction manual for life. It's fascinating, right? It tells you how you can live a life that is full of purpose, what your role is in this cosmic history that is happening right now. And it's about love. It's not just about do's and don'ts. And we're going to spend the rest of the month of June together as a church pursuing after God by growing our love for God's word. Growing our love for God's word and pursuing after God. And the best way is to start today. Okay? So two ways that we're going to do this. Two ways that we're going to do this. Two options. You can choose what you want to do. First is what we just learned, that there are 1,188 chapters in the Bible, right? So if you divide that by 365, that's about three and a quarter chapters a day. So if you just read four chapters a day, you'll be able to finish the entire Bible by May next year. Right? So that's first option. Start with the New Testament, read four chapters a day, and then go to the Old Testament. The other one is just go through the Bible with a Bible reading plan. And you can download one. I'm going to put it up tomorrow. Okay? You can download a Bible reading plan that starts today. And today's reading is Genesis chapter 1 to 3. Okay, you can go there. It's in a calendar format. You can just check every day off as you read. Okay, so go download it tomorrow after I put it up. And I want you to make a commitment to do so. You have that yellow card, that connection card. Write your name down and say, I commit to read through the Bible this year, from now on. From today on to the end of May next year. Okay? We got to start doing it because that's what obeying is about. Right? Psalm 1 says, it's to meditate on the law day and night. Right? That's what God says. And let's start doing it right now. Okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess to you that many times we don't have the hunger and desire, even though we know that we need to love you. But we just don't have that. We don't even know how to begin. We confess that we don't hunger after your word. In fact, our attentions are drawn to so many other things in the world. And we love our magazines, our books, our TV shows, our movies, more than we love your word. And we love those movie stars more than we love you. And Lord God, we don't want that to be. We want our hearts and our attitudes to change. And so God, right now I pray that you will come in and give us that hunger to know you, that deep desire for your word. And Lord God, I also know that many times when we try to read the Bible, our minds are clouded up with all kinds of thoughts. And in fact, there seems to be a fog that just come over us that prevent us from understanding your truth. God, I pray that you lift that fog from our minds, from our spirits. So when we approach your word, it comes alive to us. It tastes sweet to us. It refreshes us and rejuvenates us. Oh God, we long to feed on your bread, your truth, your word. Help us to do so as a church, that we may live a life that reflects who you are, live a life of holiness as you describe in the Bible for us. In Christ's name we pray.